All right. Thank you, guys. We have a good showing tonight. Almost seems like a Sunday morning. Open your Bibles with me to John chapter 15, please. John chapter 15. I love this chapter, and I can teach this particular chapter from many, many different angles. And tonight, I'm just going to show you one prism that shines through this particular passage. Like I said, it shines so many different prisms of revelation and wisdom, but we're just going to look at one of the prisms that this chapter, or at least the first number of verses that it reveals. John chapter 15, and let's begin reading with verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Notice, how many of y'all believe you are branches of the vine of Jesus Christ? I am, right? So Jesus said, if you don't abide in me, if you're not a branch, goodbye. There's still hope for you to turn around. But anyway, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done to you. Notice verse 8, by this my Father is what? By what is my Father glorified? That you bear what? Much fruit, and in bearing much fruit you will be my what?
Disciples.
So what is the end game of what Jesus talks about here in this portion of verses of Scripture? What is the end game? How is God glorified, and how do we become His disciples? What one thing must happen continually in our lives for us to glorify God and become more and more disciples of His?
Bearing fruit.
Notice, just wanted to highlight a few things. He went from no fruit to bearing fruit. If you don't bear any fruit, I'm going to prune you so you could bear fruit, right? And if you're bearing fruit, I'm going to prune you so you could bear more fruit. And if you're bearing more fruit, I'm still going to prune you. You know, you're pruned if you do, you're pruned if you don't. Right? And he says, I'm going to prune you so you could bear much fruit. And when you bear much fruit, then my Father is glorified, and then you are becoming more and more my disciples. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I mean, we can't really question it. These are the words of Jesus, right? And so there's that process of no fruit, fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. And that is my prayer for all of us. That's my prayer for me. That is my prayer for my Cynthia. That's my prayer for all of us, that we would go from more fruit to much fruit. And if in areas that we don't have any fruit, any spiritual fruit, that we would have fruit. And in areas that we already have fruit, that we would have more fruit. Hello, right? You see it now? And in areas that we have more fruit, that we would have much fruit, right? And so that is God's goal and end game for our lives. Because in this process, He is what, church family? He is glorified, and we become His what? Jesus' disciples. Okay, keep that in mind. Go with me to Luke chapter 8. It was necessary that I go through those prelims in John 15. All right? And so we can look at Luke chapter 8. And we're going to look at a parable. It's mentioned in Matthew 13, Mark 14, and Luke chapter 8 of the synoptic gospels. Okay, let me give you what synoptic means. Synoptic is a Greek word meaning virtually, it literally means one-eyed. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic gospels because they follow kind of the same pattern of the teaching of the life of Jesus, John's gospel is different. Did you know that John's gospel covers the first 2 years of Jesus' ministry? And Matthew, Mark, and Luke covers the last year of Jesus' ministry? That's what makes these first three. How many of y'all like coming to church? You learn something new every time. Thank God for that. All right. God is good. All right, so Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic. And so these all talk about this parable. There are slight variations, but the reason I chose this is because Jesus puts it out there, okay? So we're not going to cover, in the interest of time, we're not going to cover the parable aspect. You know, he talked about a sower, a farmer going out, sowing seed, broadcasting seed to the ground. Some fell on hard ground by the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell on thorny ground. And then the last one, some of the seed fell on good ground, all right? And it produced a crop of fruit. All right, so let's go to the explanation part. Go with me then to verse 11 of Luke chapter 8. Now the parable is this. The seed is what?
The word of God.
The word of God. Didn't Jesus say, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will bear much fruit? Right? And he says here, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Notice, they hear the message. They hear the word of God. But who comes in quickly? Why does the devil come in? Take away what? The word of God. As soon as they hear it, Mark's gospel says, immediately they hear it, immediately Satan comes and takes the word. One day where I was in my office, and I had preached on the Sunday before, I was preaching on the book of Revelation, and we looked at the great white throne judgment, and there was a young man, he was a police officer, you know him, and he came in with tears, and he said, Pastor Joe, I need to get saved. After that message, I know I, in my present spiritual condition, I'm going to face an eternity without Christ. We prayed, led him to the Lord, and he's been on fire ever since. It's something beautiful. We finished up in my office. Time came for me to go home. I went home, picked up the mail, and there in the mail was a nasty letter from one of the church people. I don't know whom. They never signed it. The next Sunday, it got interesting. I got up and I said, listen, if you don't extend me the respect of putting your name on it, I will not give you the time of day to read it. And it got that quiet in the church. But how many of y'all know, and I said it, I said, you know, sometimes God uses a Mexican to say really crazy stuff. And in this case, a crazy Mexican to say really crazier stuff. And I said, you know, that was cowardly. Whoever wrote this letter or this note, that was cowardly because you didn't put your name on it. I said, I was here on Sunday. My face, I'm not faceless and I'm not nameless. You heard what I said, and I'll stand by it. No more notes after that. But isn't it interesting? The same message. How does that happen? You know what? Satan stole the word from the person who had a hard heart. Immediately, as soon as they heard it, that word of God was stolen, and they got mad at me because of the tone of the message. Well, yo, baby, I didn't write the book of Revelation. That's right. And don't get mad at me for teaching it just as it says. Can I get a witness in the house? Can somebody give me some love, please? I still feel a little sore these days. Let's move. It's going to get crazy, Kiki. Don't look at me like that, girl. Let's move on. So it's interesting. Satan will steal the word of God from people just like that. If they're not careful, okay? But that proved to me that there could be different people hear the same message and they hear it differently and it produced different results, right? One gets saved, the other one gets angry. Okay, move on. And he says here, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should what? Lest they should believe and be what?
Saved.
Doesn't the devil want to keep people from getting saved? Doesn't 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 say the God little g of this world blinds the minds of those who do not believe? Why does he blind their minds? So that they are kept from seeing the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, right? So if the devil can keep people from getting saved, he will keep them. But how many of y'all know that for those of us present, company included, he could not keep us from getting saved? Who could say hallelujah to that? Amen. We received the word. We believed in Jesus Christ. We accepted him as Lord and Savior. And we got saved. April 1st, 1982, 8 p.m. I knelt beside my bed and I said, Jesus, forgive me. I'm going to hell without you. Those were my exact words. I said, Jesus, I don't want to go to hell. Save me. I give you my life. And thank God, that began a journey. Praise the Lord. You know, thank God for that. Thank God for that glorious. But how many of y'all know that just because the devil could not keep us from getting saved, he's not going to stop just because he couldn't keep us from getting saved? Let's move on to the next one. Verse 13. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Notice carefully, and these have no what? And so they believe for how long? A while, and in the time of testing or temptation, what happens? They fall away. Wow. Did Jesus nail it on the head or what? I can't tell you how many people over, Seth, it's going to be 30 years of ministry next month. 30 years. Wow. It is amazing. 30 years of ministry. I could get very emotional. I mean, wow. But how many people in different churches did I see that were, oh, pastor, oh, I'm right behind you. You have a gift of teaching, pastor. And something happens, and listen, I'll use Mark's words, the Gospel of Mark. They become offended, and they are gone. I'm going to say it. You can edit it out if you want, but you guys are privy, because you know you cannot mute this crazy Mexican preacher. But we had somebody leave this church because I was talking about the woman at the well, and I said that she had known the men in town. You know, she had had five husbands, and the guy that she was living with, Jesus said, was not her husband. And she got offended because I said she knew all the men in town and had didn't come back. But I tell you, the first time she met me, she's like, Pastor, oh, great message. What's happening, church family? The unspiritual mind wants to blame it on the preacher because the preacher can't keep people around. But those of us who are spiritually minded, we know better what's going on. Satan stole the word when the heat was turned up. And something rubbed them the wrong way. I'll never forget the way Billy Sunday, he was a great preacher from Chicago, great. You would probably know Gene, Mr. IQ. I say he's IQ. What's that? I didn't know him first. No, thank God, you'd be old. Or maybe you'd be dead. Not that old, though. But anyway, he got grief from some church members at his church, and they said, Pastor Sunday, some people are saying... One of the elders of the church said, Pastor Sunday, some people are saying you're rubbing the fur on the cat the wrong way. And he said, he just quipped right out. He said, well, the old cat's headed toward hell. If the old cat would turn around, I'd be rubbing it the right way. How many are glad you came to church? I can't improve on that. That brother hit the nail on the head. All right, move on. So people become offended. They fall at the time of testing. All right? Because Satan, listen, if Satan can't get us, if he can't steal the word from us, then because what does the word do? The word is going to bear fruit in our lives. Didn't Jesus say, if my words abide in you, you will bear much fruit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will bear much fruit to the Father's glory. And in so doing, you will become my disciples. Didn't Jesus say in John chapter 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? And verse 32, we can all quote verse 32, and then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But we forget verse 31. If you continue through thick and thin, continue in my word, not just in the good times. Oh, Pastor, you were so good. Something hits the fan and they are nowhere to be found. You, how many of y'all still love me? Crazy Mexicans has the gall to tell us the truth. All right, moving right along. All right, and let me say here, the offense doesn't have to do with dropping out of church attendance. As a pastor, I've gotten offended at some of the messages that I heard. And let me say here, I had to be careful because all of a sudden I wrote those preachers off, and some of those preachers were the very ones that God was using to feed me the Word of God. And we got to be careful because we're not supposed to throw out the baby with the dirty diapers, right? We just throw out the dirty diapers. We don't throw out the baby. We've got to be careful who, what, and what we become offended over. You know, let me say here, there is room for us to get offended over some stuff. We should get offended over Netflix broadcasting that Cuties. Did you know that 600 girls were auditioned? And the behind the scenes, the directors wanted to see them unclothed, all of them? I don't call that art. I call that pedophilia. And I think there's room for us to get, we get some righteous self-anger or righteous anger, indignation towards some of these things. You know, Jesus cleansed the temple, and in another gospel he said, the zeal of the Lord has consumed me. And I think that it's high time that as people of God, the zeal of the Lord begins to consume us, and we stand up and take a stand for what is right in our society. All right, so they don't last in the time of temptation. Verse 14, and the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares. Greek word merimna, M-E-R-I-M-N-A, merimna, okay, and it means worries, concerns, pressures. How many of y'all would say that pressures compete with your time with Jesus? I'll raise both hands to that. Boy, it's real, isn't it? The world will try to suck you in all kinds of different directions. Your schedule, if we don't carve time out for the Lord, I'm telling you, it'll fill up like crazy. And before you know it, the day will come and go, and you're thinking, man, I haven't spent time with the Lord. I didn't read my Bible. I didn't read my chapter. I didn't read my, you know, I need to. And by then, we are tired. We are dog tired, and we just can't give the Lord the attention that we could have earlier had we made that time. But the worries, the concerns of life. Notice another thing, the riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to what? They bring no fruit to maturity. So once Satan can't keep you from staying saved, he's going to keep you from doing what in the Lord? From maturing in the Lord. Because as we mature, didn't Jesus say that we become his disciples and God is glorified when we bear much fruit? Isn't that spiritual maturity? Much fruit? A lot of people say, well, what kind of spiritual fruit is spiritual fruit? Well, let me tell you, baby, it's not how many people you lead to the Lord. Number one, it's our reflecting primarily the character of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. You know, you mentioned preachers using the Old Testament as a hammer. I think the Old Testament is rich in great theology, but I've seen a lot of people use it as a hammer, and they miss the intent of the law. The law was good. God said, I'm giving you these commandments in the book of Deuteronomy. He said, for your own good, not to beat you down, but to provide for you and to protect you.
But people today forget we're living under the New Testament. We're not living under the Old Testament.
Right.
Yes.
So Satan will stop at nothing to keep us from maturing. Because as we mature, we're going to bear fruit. And how many of y'all know that a mature witness in Christ can win more people to Christ than an immature witness or a half-baked, half-cocked person? Well, we're going to go pass out gospel tracts. Nothing against gospel tracts. Baby, I used to do that in my teenage years. I used to do that in my college years. We would go out Friday nights and hit the streets, and we would pass out gospel tracts. I remember there was one guy that, if you can believe it, he was crazier than I was. He would take a bullhorn. I remember we were standing in front of a movie theater, and he's barking out scripture, namely condemning scripture. Yo, check it out. We called him Brother George, and he was wild and crazy. He was an African-American guy. And he's like, yo, check it out. He was barking at right at the person in the booth selling tickets. Neither the immoral, nor the ungodly, nor the homosexual, nor prostitutes will inherit the kingdom of God. Well, what hope is there in that? And then the person inside the booth with their microphone, sir, would you please stop? And then this guy, true story, then this guy with a bullhorn, yo, check it out. Unless y'all repent, you will all likewise perish. And they went back and forth. Sir, I'm going to have to call the police. Yo, check it out. No, I think he stopped. I wish he would have, buddy. Anyway, how many of y'all like this message so far? Notice verse 15. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, do what? They keep it, and they do what? Produce fruit, bear fruit with what? With patience or endurance. With patience. Yo, baby, this Christian journey is a marathon. It is a marathon. I love those running memes, Scott. That one where this guy takes off and 0.2 miles into their first mile, they're already bent over and, I went out too fast. But how many people, how many believers are like that? Man, I'm going to win the world to Christ. And then 0.2 into their first mile. I went out too fast. And you know, Satan will come in and will try to discourage him. We'll try to get him to get off course. Come on, somebody. But listen, if we hang in there, if we keep following Jesus week after week, month after month, year after year, year after year, we will bear more fruit to His glory. Come on, somebody. And we will, in so doing, become more and more His disciples. You know, I want to be a greater disciple a year from today than I am now. I can tell you that, honestly, I'm a better disciple today than I was a year ago. But a year from now, I want to be an even better disciple, right? I want to be a better follower. I want to be more faithful, more committed. Amen? All right, how many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the Word? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the ministry of your Word, Father. Help us to soak it in, absorb it, and to understand that Satan will stop at nothing to try to keep us from having that witness, to try to keep us from bearing fruit, much fruit to your glory, Lord. Will try to keep us from becoming better disciples. Father, help us to endure, to keep your word in the good times, in the hard times, in the trying times. Lord, in the good, in the bad, in the ugly, to seek you nonetheless and continue to put you first place. It is to your glory we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.